Well, welcome back to our next segment of this edition of the Mike Kira radio program, What's Up America? As always, proudly broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. Well, my guest today is illusionist and magician Michael Grandinetti, who happens to be one of the featured performers in the upcoming CWTV special, Masters of Illusion, Christmas Magic, actually airing nationally this Friday on December 1st at 9 p.m. with an encore presentation on Monday, December 18th at 9 p.m. Pleasure and honor you could join me today, Michael, and telling us all about your special and magic and all that you do. We truly do appreciate it. Thanks so much. So, Michael, yeah, we mentioned that, you know, you do both, magic and illusions. So, I mean, with this show, it's more concentrated on the illusions rather than card tricks, or?
No, actually, and that's a really good question. It's actually a little bit of everything. And I think that's one of the strengths of the show is that, you know, even the summer series, people can tune in. And if they like close-up magic, you know, the sleight of hand, they're going to see that. If they like large illusions, they're going to see that. If they like comedy magic, if they like, you know, magic that's funny, they're going to see that. So it's a great variety. I always say it's something for everybody. You know, every different style of magic is represented. And it's a great depiction of the art of magic. I think one of the things that this show has done for magic, especially since it's been on for so long, is that it has shown just how deep of an art magic is, how many different styles there are, how many different types of magic there are. So, yeah, viewers are going to tune in and, you know, be able to see magic across the board.
And we mentioned, Michael, that you've been, you know, doing this, you know, since you were a kid. And so, I mean, magic is just kind of in the blood. It's just something that you've always wanted to do, huh?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, I got a magic set for Christmas when I was 5 years old. And that was it. I was hooked. And there was nobody in my family who was a magician. It wasn't like I was, you know, picking up a family trade or anything like that. I mean, my grandfather loved magic. And he was, as most grandfathers do, he had his little kind of, breaking a toothpick and a handkerchief trick. And I still remember him doing that. But, you know, it wasn't anything that was a career. But he loved it. And when I got this magic set for Christmas, it was just, I just felt connected to it. You know, I just knew. I always tell people that my standard line is that it was like everything else under the tree that year just disappeared. You know, it just, I was hooked. And growing up, for me, it became about learning constantly as much as I could about magic. And then, as I got into my early teens and starting to do shows, it became about how do I constantly top myself? How do I constantly, which was really helpful now that we're doing this TV show, you know, that was kind of like early training. But I became very goal-oriented, and I also wanted to go beyond what somebody my age was doing. You know, when I was 13, I didn't want to look like a 13-year-old magician. When I was 16, I wanted to look like I was 20. It was always about being, hopefully, one step ahead of what somebody my age might be doing. And to this day, I have fun always trying to, you know, beat myself and trying to top myself and hopefully be a little bit ahead of the curve of what you know, even at this point in my life, what might be considered standard. So I'm always pushing.
Yeah, that's great there. And, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, Michael, you know, on this show, we always talk about influence. So, I mean, growing up, did you always want to be David Copperfield? I don't know exactly how old you are, but I know as a kid that you have those, not too many magicians, though, to look up to, though, huh? I mean, they're out there. It's just that they didn't get the press they deserved, huh?
Well, you know what? That's an interesting point. I grew up at a good time. I grew up, you know, in the 80s and 90s, and there was some great magic on television, and I think that's really what kind of gave me my love for combining magic with television. And it's interesting, like, because if you think about it, in the 80s and 90s, there was no internet, there was no YouTube. You know, today, if somebody wants to see magic, all they have to do is go on YouTube, and there's, you know, I'll go so far as to say millions of videos they can watch. But when I was a kid and coming up, you kind of had to really search it out. It was really something special. But there was great magic around. And I'm originally from Pittsburgh, and there was a magic store in downtown Pittsburgh. So every couple of weeks, my dad would take me there, and I would spend hours and hours in there studying, spending my allowance money to buy, new magic. So it was a part of my life. I can't remember a time where magic was not a part of my life.
Fantastic. So you mentioned that TV has become a big part of what you do, and it must be exciting that you could bring your magic. I mean, it must be interesting because you're performing for an audience. That's what you see, but kind of the illusion is millions of people are going to end up actually watching it. Then,
yeah, no, it's true. It's tremendously exciting. But I'll tell you what, it's surprisingly comfortable when we perform this show on TV. I think it's because we've done it for 5 seasons, and the stage is the same, the crew is the same. You know, when we walk in and tape the show and the special, it's like walking into a very familiar environment with very familiar people. So you kind of forget the fact that millions of people are going to see it. It almost feels like you're performing in your living room. I would hope that all the other performers share the same philosophy, because it's nice. It's great to walk in and be completely comfortable. And when it's all done, it is, to your point, it's incredibly exciting, because it's to know that you're able to share what you love to do with, it's going to air to people all over the country and, quite honestly, all over the world. You know, Masters of Illusion is now airing in over 100 countries around the world. Sometimes it's hard to even believe, even when I say that, when I hear myself say it, it's hard to believe that the magic that we do is covers that much ground. So it's a thrill for sure.
And you mentioned, Michael, that you tape two illusions. I mean, do you just do certain amount of takes, or how does that work?
No, quite honestly, we tape it once. We tape it once. So, because, taping a television show, whether it's a series or a special, it's a very tight schedule, and it's very costly to do, because it's done right. I mean, there's 8 cameras, and they're all, it's a very big process and a very costly process. So we try and make sure that when we get there on tape day, we rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse so that it's a well-oiled machine, and we get in and perform it. And the other strength of that, the other thing that really helps us is that, my show that I do, my live show, we're on the road quite a bit. So we take an entire year before, and we're putting these illusions, in our stage show. So we've run them many, many, many times in front of audiences. The show, the new season of the show that we're going to tape next year, the illusions that we're going to tape for that, we've already done them in our stage show for the past 6 to 8 months. So that helps. So when we get there and we basically have, one shot to do it, it helps to make it really comfortable and flow well. I mean, if something were ever, if the lighting weren't right, or, there was an issue, you get to kind of touch it up and do it again. But, I like to go in and be completely ready and really knock it out when we go in there. That's always my goal.
So, like you said, Michael, you get that live show experience because, it's like being at a show, except having the 8 extra cameras, huh?
Yeah, that's it. And, there's a live audience there. There's 300 people there. So it feels like you almost forget, to be honest with you, you almost forget that it's, it's as big as it is, that it's, again, millions of people, because you perform to those 300 people who are there, and it feels like a stage show, and they want us to look at the audience and not even really look into the cameras as much. So as a performer, it feels just like you're performing on stage. So, I think it and that helps all the magicians to, again, be at ease, be comfortable, and just enjoy it. I've always said, the goal of any performer is to go out there and enjoy it and have fun and be in the moment. And that's really what I think is going to make it as good as it can be for the audience.
And that is a good point, Michael, is that you want to look like you're enjoying it, and there's a certain amount of showmanship that I'm excited to see this, because there's a certain amount of showmanship you put with this, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's tremendously important. It's all about entertaining the audience. And, you know, if we take four illusions for the show or five illusions from the show, each one has to be different. You know, some of them are very big and very dramatic. Some of them are close-up magic, where it's very personality-driven. Some of them are very interactive, where it is, you know, getting people out from the audience and involving them in the magic. So, you know, it's giving each one its own kind of touch of showmanship so that the audience, it gives the audience a wide range of experiences as they watch our magic and the show overall. And that's the fun part. Honestly, for me, even though it's a ton of work, it's worth every minute of the work, because when you watch an audience be amazed, be entertained, just look happy. Just watch, just seeing them look happy watching what you do. I'll tell you what, I would do every minute of the last 20 years over again. So, like I said at the very beginning, I count myself as a lucky guy to be able to do that.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, when you have that love and, you know, passion, it makes it so much easier, more, like you said, more fun.
Absolutely. You know, at the end of the day, even though it's become a business, it's become my career, I still feel like that five-year-old kid who found that magic set under the Christmas tree, who is so excited and so in love with what he does. I've never lost that through all of the, you know, all of the business elements of building a career around something. And I don't plan on ever losing that, because that's what makes anybody the luckiest person in the world, when they get to do whatever their passion is, whatever it is. You know, it could be performing. It could be, you know, doing advertising for a company. It can be doing, you know, construction. It could be whatever it is, whatever you're passionate about. If you get to do that for your living, you're a lucky person. And it makes every day a lot of fun.
Okay, Michael, you know what? That sounds simply fantastic. What we are going to do is we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back. My guest today is the one and only Mr. Michael Grandinetti, who is a great illusionist and magician, who happens to be one of the featured performers in the upcoming CWTV special Masters of Illusion Christmas Magic. It will be airing nationally this Friday, December 1st at 9 p.m. with an encore presentation on Monday, December 18th at 9 p.m. You are listening to the Mike Kerr radio program, What's Up America, as always, proudly broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. And please stay with us for our very last segment of this edition of our program today.